everyone. This is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am so thankful that you are with me this week because we are talking about a topic that is so important. And it's a topic that I think every one of us in one way or another have dealt with. And we're discussing this week kids who deal with anxiety, depression, things like that. And I know so many of us, if it's not one of your children, I'm certain you have a friend whose child has struggled with these things. And so I have a new guest on today. His name is Dr. Rush Witt, and I am super excited to have him with me. We're going to just walk through these things and give you some tools that you can use to help walk your children or maybe friends of yours through these struggles. But before we get started, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you're looking for a great biblical worldview curriculum for your kids, no matter what grade, what age, or what subject, they have something for you. BJU Press will help equip you for a successful homeschool journey, and they've crafted their curriculum to give you the tools you need that are rooted in a solid biblical foundation, and they are amazing. We love them. We use them in our homeschool. You guys know we're a pretty eclectic homeschool family, and so we have lots of different things that we use, and we love BJU Press Homeschool. We trust them so much. They are fantastic. So if you've not checked them out, check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com, bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Rush, welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am excited to be with you this week and just have you bring this encouragement to us. Could you introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. Yes. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be able to sit down and spend this time together over these few sessions. And so, as you mentioned, my name is Rush. It's kind of a unique name, actually a family name. I think the fourth generation with that name. Actually, my full name is Rushton.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
So it's a name that kind of carries on, and one of our kids has Rushton in his, as his middle name. And but I live in Ohio and pastor a church here that we planted about 12 years ago. And my wife and I moved here with three kids at that time, and then two more came since then. And our family has been on a homeschool journey since the beginning. When we first started with schooling our kids, when they were school age, just coming into that age, we were living in Florida at the time. And where we lived, we just the school options that were available to us just weren't as strong as we had hoped that they would be. And we weren't really in a place to look at other alternatives. And so that was our first kind of introduction, because neither my wife nor I were homeschooled. Our first introduction to homeschooling as an idea and as a thing. Yeah. So there were some people in our church who were homeschooling. And so we just started one year at a time and just kind of evaluating how it was going from the earliest age. And then just year upon year, you know, we kept growing in it. And, you know, like any dad in a homeschool family, I feel like I should really clarify when I say we, because my wife is doing is always a lot of the homeschooling.
Sure.
And I've had a unique experience though, because I'm also obviously pastoring a church, and because our church was a church plant, we didn't have a church office. So my office is in our house.
Yeah.
So I'm around a lot. And so I'm around when things are going well. I'm around when things are really struggling. Try to find ways to help. I'm not always the most helpful, but it's been a good journey for us. And so we have five kids. Oldest is in college. Second oldest is almost in college. And then three more, you know, coming up. So that's sort of what we're doing here in Ohio.
Yeah, I appreciate that you say we. Yeah. And you clarified that. It's always funny when, you know, you hear a husband say, "We just had a baby."
Yeah.
"She just had a baby."
Yeah, right.
You were there to support her and love her through it and help her through it. But yeah, we have a very similar situation where my husband works from home. And so, you know, he helps when and where he can. And we love it. We love being able to just have lunch together as a family. We often play games in the middle of the day. You know, usually it's after lunchtime, we'll eat lunch and then we'll play a game together as a family. And then he'll go back to his office and we go back to doing our thing. And it is truly a wonderful blessing. Well, I know you are also a biblical counselor. And that's the reason I wanted to have you on this week, is because I want to talk about a topic that is, I think, often on the forefront of our minds if it's something that we deal with in our homes. But like I said in the intro, depression and anxiety is something that many, many kids today deal with. And we did an episode many months ago with Rachel Carman on moms who deal with depression and anxiety. And it was such a fantastic conversation with her. But I really wanted to focus on kids and teens who deal with these struggles, because the struggle is real. And I feel like, and I don't know if you have any statistics, but I feel like more and more today, more kids are dealing with these things with the onset of social media. And, you know, you throw COVID into it and all the things, just our world kind of flipped upside down. And so many of our kids are struggling with depression and or anxiety. And it is really hard to know how to navigate this.
It is.
With our kids. So I would like to bring some encouragement with this. And maybe we can start off by kind of talking about the difference between the two. What is the difference between depression and anxiety? And then we're going to dig deep into this week. You know, how can we recognize it in our kids? What can we do? Give us some tools to be able to work through this with our kids. But let's talk really quickly first about the difference between the two.
Sure. Yeah, this is a really important topic. And, you know, as a biblical counselor and pastor, I'm not a licensed counselor or a medical doctor. So I'm not as up as others may be on specific statistics of how frequently something happens. But as a pastoral biblical counselor, in the context of counseling, and obviously this is a major problem that comes in and out of counseling offices all the time. And when it comes to teens and kids, as a dad of five kids, I'm certainly enmeshed in a bunch of lives that are always struggling. You know, we're always as people experiencing the world, we're always changing. I mean, even you and I, we will be different at the end of this conversation than we were at the beginning. So all of that, you know, multiplied in life means that life is difficult for everybody, and especially life in a fallen world. The Bible's very clear that our world is broken. Our world, of course, is being restored because God is gracious and he has a redemptive plan through his son. And the gospel is therefore paramount or central to our lives.
Yeah.
But it's such an important and difficult topic. So I really appreciate the topic, and I think it's important to talk about. You asked a second ago, what is the difference between depression and anxiety? And I think that what I'm going to say as we talk it through is a similar theme. You know, a theme is going to kind of run through the things that I say. And it's a yes and kind of theme. You know, I think that as parents, we all would really love to be able to draw real clear lines. And we all like to have real concrete, hard and fast rules or answers for things in life. And when it comes to our kids struggling or suffering, or our friends or our spouses or ourselves, we'd really like to have that. That seems like it would make it easy. If I could just draw a line and say, are you on this side of the line or that side of the line? This side is the depression line. That side's the anxiety line. If you're on this side, do this and this and this, read this, go here, and everything will be fine. If you're on this side, read this and do this and think this, and everything will be fine. But the real challenge that we all know when we're honest about it is it just doesn't work that way. So while we can see some nuances, actually what we're finding is depression and anxiety are more like two sides of the human coin. You know, so there are aspects that we think of and we say, man, I'm really feeling anxious, or I really see that my son is anxious about this test, or anxious about a relationship, or, you know, the neighborhood or something like that. But and we would call it anxiety. But at the same time, those same things could be a part of feeling what we call, you know, feeling depressed.
Right.
So I think it's hard to distinguish between the two. And instead, what I think is helpful is to look at the middle place where they come from. You know, the Bible's really clear. Jesus said in the Gospels, that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, there were legalist Pharisees around who were really concerned about what they put into their mouths, the fear that it would defile them. And Jesus turns that around and says, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth, and it comes from your heart. So the Bible, all over the place, prioritizes our hearts as the ultimate place of trouble and the place to look when we're trying to change. So I think the most helpful thing is to say, what is the experience of being depressed and anxious, and what does that have to do with my heart? So, and as a parent, getting to the heart of the matter, yeah, that sounds really like cliche, I know, yeah. but it really is true.
Sure.
The heart of the matter, this sounds cheesy, is the matter of the heart. It's what's going on in our heart. So sometimes we can look at the external experiences, this kind of self-reporting kids do of how they're feeling, and that can be very helpful to get a sense of where they are. But ultimately, I think that what we should do with that information is then let it lead us into an understanding of what's going on in somebody's heart that's leading them to feel these ways that blend together and can be so confusing. So how's that for a first answer? You asked a question and I didn't answer it.
You know? It's a perfect answer.
Fantastic.
I love it.
Guest right from the start.
I love it. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com.
Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Resh. I love your non-answer to the question that I asked. It was perfect because really what you're saying is, we can't just put it in a box. We can't put it in the depression box and the anxiety box and, you know, just try to solve it from there. It's not a Rubik's Cube.
Right.
It's absolutely true that we need to kind of step back, look at what is going on in the heart. And as parents, that's really, really hard to do sometimes. I will say, I think that's one of the greatest benefits and blessings of being a homeschool parent is that we know our kids so well. And sometimes I think maybe we don't know them as well as we think we do, because sometimes kids are dealing with something, even if we're with them all the time, you know, they're in our home 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we think, oh, we always know what they're thinking about.
Sure.
And I think more so than if we were away from them for 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
But still, this can start very young. And maybe we just consider it as like part of the norm of what that's just their personality. That's just how they are. Mm. And so as you've observed families and observed kids, what ages do you see that, I mean, how early, I guess I should ask this, how early can depression and anxiety begin in a child? And then what are some signs that we can start looking for?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think it's one that I'll give a more true answer to. So the first question that you asked, we talked about that, and we thought about how it's not, to use your great words, it's that you can't put it into a box and clearly delineate everything all the time. And certainly while that's true, the good news is that God has given us in his word ample truth to understand the experiences that we have as human beings, the challenges that we face as fallen people in a fallen world who are in a process of change and development that he's doing. And so as we look to God's word, I think a helpful way that the Bible answers this for us is not by simply laying out again, a clear, like, this age is when depression starts, or this age is when anxiety begins, but rather looking, as we said earlier, at what does the Bible say about our hearts, and looking for when those aspects of being a person start to emerge. So when we think about depression and anxiety in our own lives as adults, we might be able to see it a little more clearly as we look at Scripture, and we see that when Scripture talks about our hearts, it usually uses words like self, belief, desire, motive. That's what the Bible means when it talks about what's going on in my heart. So I tend to think about two big categories of what happens in our hearts all the time. Our hearts are full of beliefs and desires. And those beliefs and desires can be godly and in submission to Christ, or those beliefs can be and desires can be ungodly, or kind of become rogue ruling desires. And when we think about the times in our lives when we feel depressed or anxious, often, even if we can't do it in the moment, we can look back and say, okay, here's what I was dealing with in my life. My heart was wrestling with a belief that really wasn't lining up with the truth about what I know about God, or what he tells me about who I am, or his love for me, or his sovereign control, or his happiness in me as one of his children. Or we can look and see there was some kind of, usually it's a good desire that becomes a bad desire by morphing into a ruling desire.
Right.
You know, because we can take anything good, and usually that's what's happened, and we can make it a bad thing by making it an ultimate thing. And that leads to anxiety because it's captured my heart. The Bible uses the word idolatry or craving or ruling desire. Okay. So the reason I'm saying all of that is because I think the best answer to the question is to think about when our kids start to get in tune with those two things, beliefs and desires. Does an infant 3 days old, can we see beliefs and desires at work then? We just can't. We don't see that happening. They're not talking about that. You know, we're not getting them to talk about their hearts and what they're feeling, what's going on quite yet. But as they begin to wrestle with that and communicate those things, or as we're able to see them, then we can recognize where the possible problem areas of, you know, this becoming a debilitating kind of depressive season, or, you know, other words that run along with depression are words of despair or hopelessness, or being, you know, the Bible talks about being downcast.
Yeah.
We start to get at those, or maybe it's anxiety when we start to feel overwhelming fear or panic. And usually it's because there's some belief and desire that are just, we're wrestling in our hearts with. So I think that it can happen pretty early because, you know, as soon as kids start to interact with their world, and as soon as they're able to start to give words to the things that are inside of them, we see them from an early age want things, really want things, be willing to fight to get things, really crying about things, then we start to see those desires at work. And so that's good news to me because it means that as I see that, I can start to interact with them around it.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, from an early age, we can see some of these things happening, and it's a normal, you know, course of life for us as people in the world full of beliefs and desires. And so as parents, we want to be careful from the earliest days to be shepherding our children's hearts, to steal the title of a, you know, well-known book by Ted Tripp, which has been really helpful to our family.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you talk about that. And we've had Ginger Hubbard on our podcast many times, who wrote kind of the next version, you know, the how-to of the shepherding a child's heart. But it's true, you know, and what's interesting as I think about ages and stuff is that kids have different personalities too. And so I think it could sometimes be easy, especially in those little years, as you're learning your kids' personalities, because they're, you know, you've got five kids. So I would imagine that with five children, they have very different personalities. You probably have a super introvert and you probably have a super extrovert somewhere in there. And so those introverts, sometimes, you know, they're quiet and they want to be by themselves and left alone. And then you've got those who just are out there and everybody knows what they're feeling and thinking, and you know, because it just comes right out of them. so I think that can be hard to navigate sometimes too, is like, well, okay, you know, are they sad or are they just an introvert? Are they just quiet and they just really don't want to be around people? And you know, that's how God made them. But again, as their parents, like, we have the opportunity to really get to know our children, and it's fun. I feel like it's not a game, but it's fun in those early years as their personalities are really developing, to figure out who they are. How did God make these children so unique? You know, and so fun stuff, but we're out of time. We are going to come back on Wednesday, keep talking about this important topic. Rush, where can people find out more about you, maybe your church? You said you're in Ohio?
Yeah, we're in Ohio. We're in Columbus, Ohio. A historic little part a few miles east of downtown called Bexley. And our church is called Paramount Church. And actually, it's named that because in 1 Corinthians 15:3, the Apostle Paul says to his readers that he had delivered to them that which was of first importance. And he's referring to the gospel, with, you know, the good news of what Jesus did for us. And so that's why we named our church Paramount Church, because we want the gospel to be, you know, paramount. And so that's where we are. ParamountColumbus.com is our church's web address. Just to kind of see more of what's happening here. We're just a little church, maybe 120 people. The Lord's been faithful to us.
Well, anyone in that area, maybe check out Rush's church. Thank you for being with us. And you guys, thank you so much for listening today. If you've not subscribed to our newsletter, you can do that through our website, schoolhouserocked.com, where you can also stream the movie for free. If you've not seen the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, you can watch it for free. Share it with your friends and share this podcast with your friends as well. Have a great rest of your day. Stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next on the podcast. And we will see you back here on Wednesday. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout. And receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
Because this can be hard for us to sort out, it has been helpful to me to think about how the Bible talks about us as people. The Bible talks about us as being two parts, body and soul. And those two parts are mixed together and they influence each other. There are ways in which my spiritual life, your spiritual life, can affect the way we feel in our bodies. If I'm having a spiritual issue like anxiety, it can produce in my body those symptoms of I'm nervous, I'm shaky, I feel on edge, I'm not sleeping well. And in the reverse, sometimes we have something going on in our bodies, being sick or some other kind of body problem that can produce this spiritual struggle. And that's not to say that, you know, you need to eat a good diet and take your vitamin and you won't have doubts about God. But it is to say that those things tend to run together. They influence each other.